If you've looked inside of your bulletin, you'll see that there's an insert in there. And you'll see that one of the inserts has the different topics that you gave me for sermons. Do you see that? There were roughly 32 responses to different topics or things that you felt were important to you that you would like to hear as a message. Now, my job was to kind of boil them down and together to make sense of them, and I ended up coming up with 15 different topics in all. And then I categorized them, because I'm a categorizing kind of guy, into family issues, life issues, and faith issues. Those seem to be some of the most important things that you were thinking about. Now, in this What About series, I'm not going to deliver these messages in a continuous manner. And the reason partly is because we're almost to the holiday season. If we went 15 weeks on topics, we would be going just about into Christmas, and I want to spend some time on the holidays and do special messages for the holidays. So we'll be taking gaps in here and taking these on as we go along when time allows on special Sundays. So given that, the first topic that came up that I thought should be number one under a family heading was that of divorce. And that is simply because, lo and behold, the readings we would normally get for a Sunday at this time of the year are the readings that we found up on the screen that we read through on marriage. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and take on the first one, which for me is the most difficult one right away, not to just get it out of the way, but because I think it is something that is very important to us in the church. And I think one of the reasons it's difficult is it seems like a lose-lose topic. It doesn't seem like there's any way to win when it comes to divorce. For example, what happens if I say it's okay? Well, what do you think? If I say divorce, it's okay. There may be a few of you here that are going through a rough time in your marriage. There may be a few of you here that are thinking about getting out, but there's an opportunity to reconcile. You see what I'm saying? And if I say, well, it's okay, do whatever you feel like doing, you might take the easy way out and not work on what God wants, and that's reconciliation. If I say it's not okay, it should never happen, it's the unforgivable sin, what then? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have been through divorce or know somebody close to you who has been through divorce? Or know somebody who's contemplating it and perhaps ought to be contemplating it. And I say, it's the unforgivable sin, and if you go there, you're done here. And God doesn't want you anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Doesn't it kind of seem like a lose-lose situation? But I'm going to tackle it for three reasons. One is, one of you suggested it. Another one is the Bible has so much to say about it. So obviously, we ought to talk about it. And the last one is it's such a common issue. Not just out there beyond the walls, but also here within the walls. And so we find these words of Jesus. The Pharisees, they came up in order to, what's the word? Test Jesus, and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answered them, what did Moses command you? What did he say? And they said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Number one thing I want to say to you right off the bat, this passage and what follows after it in terms of divorce is not judging you if you've been through divorce. It's not. There are no Bible passages condemning divorced people to hell without any hope. Did you know that? As many people say, it's the unforgivable sin. They're wrong. This is forgivable. The unforgivable sin is to deny the Holy Spirit in your life, the work of that Holy Spirit to bring you faith and to keep you in faith. You see, Jesus is talking to who? Who's he talking to? Pharisees, the church leaders of the time. And you know what? They were troublemakers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were troublemakers, and they were asking Jesus for what purpose? You see the word? To test him. You think that's a good thing to do, to test God? God, I'm going to test you to see if you know all the answers. Think that's a good thing to do? I don't think it's a good thing to do, especially when you think you're right and he's wrong. One thing's for sure, nothing good is going to come from a bunch of people, especially men, who think they're right about marriage and God is wrong, especially when they want to just get rid of their wives because there's another one out there they like better, younger, more beautiful, whatever. You see the issue? That's why this is here. My experience with people that are in the church, people I know, my experience is, and I've not met one yet, that when they're going through marital problems and divorce is on the table, they're not opposing God. I've never met one yet that has said to me, I'm opposing God on this. I know what's right. God doesn't. And so I'm forcing the issue. Sometimes there's abuse. Sometimes there's abandonment. Sometimes adultery. You know what? Sometimes counseling is all that's needed and a heart of reconciliation. That's what I find most of the time. So I'm telling you here today, anybody who's going through a rocky time in their marriage, listen to this. If you're contemplating it, thinking about it, if it's on the table, whatever. If you know somebody who's thinking about it, contemplating it, and it's on the table, know there's hope. Know there's an opportunity for reconciliation. Know that God is very aware of this. And God doesn't want any one of his children to live without forgiveness and hope and salvation. First and foremost, as Christians, we got Christ in our minds. We must understand this in an evangelical way. I'm not judging anybody. And the purpose of the scripture on this is to not judge people who are divorced. Now, I suppose there could be somebody who is out there just going from relationship to relationship to relationship, even without marriage. There could be people out there who are getting married time and time and time again, and perhaps it's to oppose God. Do you remember Elizabeth Taylor? I don't know, how many times was she married? Does anybody know? She was asked this question, do you know that you're opposing God? That was more of a statement. And she said, I would never oppose God. I don't want to go to hell like anybody else. Her exact words. I looked this up. Who knows why she did what she did? I'm not going to judge her. But I really doubt there's any Elizabeth Taylors here. And you need to know God loves you and cares for you. I estimate, this is my estimation, in 30 years of pastoral ministry, that I have been with 150 couples that have contemplated divorce, and some of them have actually filed and completed the divorce. I've walked through the difficulties with them, the differences. I've heard at least one of the spouses shout in anger while I'm in the room at the other person. I've heard others desperately seeking for a way to make the marriage work, but things are so complicated. I've walked into homes of single parents and listened to their woes. I have had in youth groups and confirmation classes students of divorced couples, and they blame themselves and feel awful. And as you know, my first wife filed for divorce and left me without any opportunity for reconciliation. I've learned one thing, and I've shared this with them all. Sometimes you can't control everything. Sometimes things are out of your control. They've come to a place where you simply have to say, God, I can't make anything happen here. It's up to you. Sometimes that's where you are. That's the only place that you can see yourself. Things are out of control. You're in control. My life isn't. And the bottom line, every Christian, whether it's divorce or something else, always should turn to God, repent, and carry on with their life. You have to carry on with your life. No matter what the issue, you can't let divorce ruin you. I couldn't let it ruin me. I had to get up one morning and say, God, what do you want? I'm here for you. Tell me, speak to me. I don't know what to do. It's out of control. I can't control this. So what do you want? And believe it or not, I met some people who were divorced that became stronger Christians because of it, more loving, more forgiving, more understanding, and they became men and women who could counsel others in a way that I have not seen counseling done before. And I said to God, maybe that's what you're doing here. Maybe what's happened has happened because somebody needs me in this kind of situation. In my stupidness, you know how I used to be? People would come up to me and say, we're getting divorced. Usually it was the dumpee, not the dumper. We're getting divorced, and I want you to know, and I want you to help me any way you can. And they're just at the end of their rope. And inside I was thinking this, well, at least that's not me. And I don't have to go through that. Like in some way or another, I was better than them. God taught me a lesson. I think it's a lesson we all need to hear. God loves you and forgives you. There's always a tomorrow. There's always an opportunity for ministry that you might not expect. And when God puts you in that place, you can serve in a way that maybe others can't. In today's gospel, Jesus is making a decree. There's hope for you. There's help for you. You can still be liberated from the gospel. The most important thing is not to become a Pharisee. The most important thing is to not test God. The most important thing is to not take marriage lightly, but deliberately and in accordance with what God wants. It was God Himself who instituted marriage, not man. From the very beginning, it says that what did God do? He made a male and female. And then He brought the two of them together that they might be married in union for the purpose of mutual love and the procreation of children. Where did divorce come from? Us. Once again, we live in sin and we can't run away from it. No one can, no matter what the sin is. But we have a good and gracious and loving God that helps people no matter what, even if they fail in marriage. He welcomes everyone, including those of us who've experienced divorce, and so should the church. We should all be accepting of one another, trying to understand each other, supporting one another, lifting one another up. We're the place where people can go in their brokenness and pain. This is the place where people can come when they're broken and in pain. Jesus understands the pain of rejection and broken relationships. This is what the cross is all about. He meets us where we're at. Bleeding on the cross, He knows your pain. Raised victoriously, He is triumphant over death, but also all of the experiences that seem to take the life right out of us. He offers new life. He is a loving and good God. He walks you through the trouble and pain and leads you to a hopeful tomorrow. That should be clear. That's really all I had to say about this topic. But I hope you understand that I understand it in an evangelical manner. And I hope you understand clearly that God loves everyone, even those of us here today who may feel shame or guilt or any of the other tough emotions that come along with divorce. And last but not least, if you look at the handout I gave you at the very back, you will find helpful resources for counseling. I'm not certified by the state of Wisconsin to be a counselor in these cases. I'm not a professional. That doesn't mean I can't shepherd you spiritually. But when it comes to these cases, professional counseling is needed for those who want to work through their marriage and find reconciliation. I gave you those different resources. I also talked to Scott Allen this week, who's with us today. He can be a referral to find you help as well. By the way, there are other people here who've been through divorce. or who have reconciled their divorces or their issues in marriage, they can be used in some instances as references for help when you're going through time of need. They may have individuals they know that are professional that can help you through whatever issues there might be. And I want you to use those. You can begin with me if you like, and I can give you direction. But you're not without hope. No one here is without hope. There's hope for all. Our God is a God of hope. You're not helpless. Our God is a God who wants to help. Make that clear. I hope I have. In Jesus' name, amen.